In the beginning of a year, I like to turn to the Psalms and learn again and again from the psalmist. David, of course, wrote most of the Psalms, and some other writers have been there. The Psalm book was used as a hymnal in the Old Testament. And some of the hymns were quite gloomy. And today we want to focus actually on verse 15 in Psalm 31. My times are in your hands. We seldom think about time except when we're running late. Years ago, we had invited friends over to our place, and one of the fellows came late, and he came with a t-shirt that said, "Does running late count for exercise?" I don't know. I mean, it depends on how intense we're running. Time is a lot like a river that is carrying us. You can't stop time. There's no way that you can hold on to a moment. The memory, yes, the memory of that moment stays, but you cannot hold on to that moment. The moment has passed. And we're carried downstream, if you will. And where is this river of time taking us? You know, when it rains and water runs into the rivers, where do the rivers go? They're trying to find the ocean. And this is how our lives are. We are traveling to the ocean of eternity, when time will be no more. What are we doing while we're on this trip? A lot of people have trouble with time management, and especially putting first things first, putting our priorities straight. Someone put it this way: we live in an age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash and the bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop and the brief stop, the lamp tan in a short span, the big shot and the good spot, and the brain strain and the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps, and the fun's done, and then comes taps. Now, if you don't know what taps means, taps is a funeral music piece. Then comes taps. If there's anything that you and I truly need this year, it is to get closer to God and to grow in the love of our Savior, to carry out His will for and in our lives, to be carried through no matter what the river of time may bring our way, that we remain faithful and close to the Lord. Now, I want to look at the text here today. Just a little overview of Psalm 31. I underlined a few words here. It's interesting how the psalmist prays this. Now, some of us know that this is probably a messianic psalm, meaning that it refers to Jesus, except Jesus did not repent of sin. He didn't have any sin. So it was definitely the experience of the psalm writer himself. And he complains to the Lord and he says, "Look, I'm really stressed out." Verse 9. "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress, suffering from stress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, macular degeneration, cataracts, whatever. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. At that time, the psalmist didn't have glasses. They couldn't, I don't know, they had any glasses too. What we call corrective lenses. I'm consumed by anguish. Anxiety. I'm suffering from anxiety. My strength fails because of my affliction. I'm suffering from depression, Lord. Stress, depression, anxiety. And then look at this. My bones grow weak. I suffer from osteoporosis. And many of us, we can relate to that, right? When you're 10 years old, you have your problems. When you're a teenager, you have your problems. When you're in the 20s, you have your problems. And guess what? When you're in the 60s, 70s, oh, and one sister called me last week and she said, oh, once you reach 80s, oh boy, it's like a big flood of suffering that comes your way. That's what the psalmist said. Depression, anxiety, osteoporosis, macular degeneration, and all this stress. But then he says, verse 14, I trust in you, O Lord. And I say, you are my God. David joins in prayer and tells God his circumstances. David never minimized his problems. And we shouldn't minimize our problems, our sufferings. Maybe not burden others by complaining or by constantly talking about our distresses, but before the Lord, don't minimize your sufferings. Tell him exactly how you feel. That's what the psalmist did. Verse 9, be merciful, O Lord. I am in distress. I'm really scared, Lord. I'm afraid to go into this new year. I'm afraid what is to come. I'm afraid I may fall from you. I'm afraid I may give in to temptation. I'm afraid I may get sick. I'm afraid I may have an accident. I'm afraid that my health will fail. And all of that, he said, Lord, I trust you with that. I bring this anxiety. I bring these worries to you, O Lord. Because my times, my seasons, belong to the Lord. The good, the bad, and the ugly days, they're all in the Lord's hands. Those days when you may feel like Job, who says he cursed the day he was born. He said, that day, may it live in infamy. But even that day is in the Lord's hand. I want to read you a poem that I collected concerning the new year. So what will the new year hold? What mysteries will this year unfold? Will it be joy and endless peace? Or will it wreak havoc and terror unleash? I will reveal and let you see. There's absolutely no doubt what it will be. So listen, my friends, as I make it clear what you can expect during the coming year. There will be peace and joy all about. There will be reasons for a hallelujah shout. There will be abundance on every hand, sufficiency in all for woman and man. There will be much strife and fear that chills. There will be terrors untold and the thing that kills. There will be missed love and hearts will be void. There will be lack and want and dreams destroyed. Both righteousness and sin will roam the land. Faithfulness and betrayal, you understand. Husbands and wives will love and smile. Husbands and wives will go to trial. Children will make their parents proud. Children will follow the wrong crowd. Leaders will rise above the call. Leaders will stumble and then they'll fall. The world will have its trouble and pain. Some will think that it's gone insane. Yet, beauty and majesty will still somehow rise. It will climb from the depths to claim the prize. All of these things, I promise, will be. It's a proven fact of history. It will be this year, as it has in the past, the best and the worst, but none of it lasts. So don't be concerned what tomorrow will bring, or this year or that, or summer or spring. Life is not really made of years. It's made of seconds and smiles and tears. Find joy right now instead of sorrow. Live today well. Stop worrying about tomorrow. It will be this year as it's always been. For the kingdom of heaven is still within. I thought that's beautiful, isn't it? If you want the poem, send me an email and I'll send it to you. Verse 22, in my alarm I said, oh, I am cut off from your sight. This is how it often feels, being cut off. And when your prayer this year feels like it's only reaching the ceiling, or maybe not even that, remember, God is still there. Your times are in his hands. You and I are in his hands. And that's the comfort of it. This text speaks of God's timing. The Bible says that Jesus came to earth when the time was fulfilled. And I'm waiting for God's timing on certain issues, on certain prayer requests. Now, I wanted it last year. I wanted it the year before. I wanted it the years before. But it's not come yet because it wasn't God's timing yet. But I still trust him that in his time, it will all make sense and it will all work together for good for those that love God. My times are in thy hands, David wrote. Christ's central theme is the word of truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in the fifth verse in this chapter, it actually describes a man of sores and acquainted with grief. Not only was Jesus crucified and ended his ministry on earth, so to speak, he was acquainted with our sorrows, with our griefs. Isaiah 53. Meaning that in God's timing, God understands our sufferings, whether we feel like it or not, but he's gone through it. And therefore, in verse 5, he says, into your hand I commit my spirit. Meaning that into your hands, not only my time, not only my work, not only the decisions, not only the prayer requests, not only the burdens, but my very spirit The core of my being I commit in your hands, he said. We pray for loved ones to be saved. And we believe in God's timing, they will be. Don't give up on it. Keep on praying. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. That's what Jesus has done. So as we focus on putting our spirits, our time into God's hands, we realize and meditate on what he has done for us, that he became human, that he suffered and died for us. He took our punishment, our judgment upon himself. So in every time, in every season of our lives, we can praise God the Father for the great gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, for this forgiveness that we have. Because nothing and no one can take that away from us. And that in itself takes away the fear of death. So if you're afraid of dying this year, don't be. Because if you're a child of God, what happens when we die? We move up. We move to the upper home, to eternity, to be with Jesus forever and ever. So we need to commit our times, our seasons, into God's hand by the following three things. And that's in our text here. Just to kind of summarize this whole psalm. The psalmist says, I will trust in the Lord my God. Verse 14. We trust so many others. We trust people. We trust strangers. Do we trust the Lord? He is most trustworthy. I have often struggled with my trust in the Lord. I have to be totally honest with you. Sometimes it has been a challenge. Do I trust the unseen hand of God? I've never had a vision of Jesus. I never saw an angel. I never had an angel speak with me or to me. If you have, then praise God. But we're asked to trust the Lord because of his word, because of his promises. Because of what he has done and that he is trustworthy. Trust involves obedience, believing in God's goodness. Verse 7 says, I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness. So rejoicing in the Lord this year is a command, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord how many times? Man, always. No exemptions, no exceptions. I'll rejoice in the Lord one day a week, whenever I feel like it, right? That's a tough one. But he rejoiced in the fact that you have seen my affliction. You understand my agony. You understand my stress. You understand my situation. You know my seasons. Rejoicing is a response to answered prayer. And we can rejoice in the answered prayers that we have so far. Lord, I know there's a lot more prayers that I have that are unanswered, but rejoice in the fact of the prayers he has already answered. Praise God. Number three, love the Lord, all you godly ones. Verse 23. This is the greatest command, to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our beings. To keep our priorities straight this year is start with the love of God. Lord, do I love you enough? Lord, how can I love you more? Teach me how to love you more. How to increase my love to you. Remember that song, More Love to Thee, O Lord? That should be our prayer every day. More love to Thee, O Christ. Because He wants us to grow in our love to Him. He wants us to be in love with Him because He is in love with us. Or He wouldn't have died for us on the cross. Love is how the Lord preserves us. Love for the Lord preserves us from evil, from sinful actions and attitudes and words. Love for the Lord preserves us from false teachings. In verse 24, be strong, take courage, and hope in the Lord. That is a result of the love for the Lord. Our times, our seasons are in God's hands. Whatever your season is this year, in which season you are, consider that season in God's hands. Receive it from God and make the best of it. I love the prayer of Jabez. I don't know, have you ever memorized the prayer of Jabez? If you haven't, make that a priority. Look it up. I think it's in 2 Chronicles. The prayer of Jabez. Jabez, the name meant pain. And this name that his mother had given him, pain, was really devastating for him. He felt down. But he prayed one prayer. And I want to close with this. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and expand my territory. Oh, that your hand would be with me and keep me from evil and the evil one, that they would not hurt me and I would not cause pain. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? We can make that prayer our own. I pray it often and ask the Lord to help me with this in this regard. My times, my seasons are in God's hands. It takes a lot of trust, takes courage, even in the middle of suffering. Still, we will trust the Lord and follow Him. I hope that is your resolve too. Let's stand for prayer.